Be seated. Well, I'll tell you what. This doesn't normally happen, but there are certain days I come with more than one message ready to preach. And I've been working on Acts chapter 15, the last few verses. And in your bulletin, you have an outline that says disagreeing disciples. But Dave, I'm not using that, okay? I told Dave, be ready for anything, because I wasn't quite sure. I'm going to hold on to that as we go through the book of Acts. I'm just going to hold on to that for a little later, and we'll pick it up and continue through the book of Acts. But what I'm going to preach on this morning really is appropriate for the weekend that it is. My apologies to maybe a couple of you who may have heard this on Thursday, but I prepared a message for Jolly Seniors about the love of Christ, the love of God, with the Valentine's celebration. We had a special meal and just had a great time together. And since it is the day after Valentine's Day today, I had this message, I had another message, and then I had the message I thought I was going to preach, an Acts, ready to go. And just as we were singing the songs and noticing some of the Valentine's attire and so forth, I thought I'm just going to preach on God's love this morning. And so before we start, I want to do this. I want to find out what couple has been married the longest in our fellowship this morning. So if you're here and you've been married at least a month, let me see your hand. Okay, all right. At least a month, keep them up. All right, at least 5 years. At least 10 years, at least 20 years, at least 30 years, at least 35. I can keep my hand up still. Okay, all right, now it's going to have to go down. At least 40 years, 45. All right, let's go to 50 years. Okay, we have several. Okay, if you still have your hand up, 50 plus, how many? How many, Bryces? No, I don't want to embarrass you. How many? 57 years. Let's give him a hand. Okay. All right. Who else over 50? Yeah. Okay. Childhood sweethearts got married. You can do that here in West Virginia? Yeah. Okay. All right. Lynn, Carlin, 54. Great. Give them a good hand. Okay. Who else? Okay. Nancy, 55 for John and Nancy. Okay. Give them a hand. Was there anybody else still over 50? We get them all. Okay. Three. That's great. That's really great in a day and age in which, hear about that a lot, to have three couples who have had a half a century together. That's good. Well, I hope you had if you are married or have a sweetheart, I hope you were able to celebrate in some way the last few days. If you were planning to go out to eat last night, it may have been a little, a little scary traversing the roads with the snow and ice, but hope you were able to enjoy some way, giving chocolates to each other or flowers or going out to eat some way to celebrate Valentine's. And so today in the message, we want to celebrate love. Let's look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, I'm only going to focus on one verse this morning. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Human love is a wonderful, wonderful thing. I love my wife so much. We celebrated 35 years just a few days before Christmas. And I don't know what I would do without her. We had a group of us from our Sunday school class went out to eat together, kind of a pre-Valentine's Day dinner Thursday night. And we had some games and different things. And I just asked everybody, tell a little bit about your meeting your you're a spouse, and each of you say what one thing that you really appreciate about your spouse. And I said about Jeannie, she's my rock. You know, she is the glue that holds our family together, and I am just so grateful for her. I love her so much. I love our three children, our three grown children, and a son-in-law and daughter-in-law. Just love our kids. I love being a dad. I love going to ball games and school events, and I just enjoyed that time so much. And then I know I don't need to say it, but I love my two granddaughters, because I say it probably too much, but our two granddaughters, and I already love a little grandson that's going to be born in the middle of April, and another granddaughter that's going to be born in the beginning of June. I already haven't met them yet, but I know they're real, and they're growing within their mothers, and I can't wait for those third and fourth grandchildren to be born. I love my friends. God has blessed me with friends in a lot of different places. I was born in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, lived in Pennsylvania till I was ready to enter 10th grade. We moved to Denver, Colorado, and made friends out there. In fact, that's where I met my wife-to-be in high school. Went to college in South Carolina, went up to the state of Michigan, and now down to West Virginia, and I'm thankful for friends in various places. All over the place, some around the world, as I have missionary friends and so forth. And I am thankful, and I love this flock. I love Cross Lanes Bible Church. I am grateful, honored to be your pastor, and I love this church. And so, as I think of my own life, this special gift of love, human love is amazing. Human love, what would this world be like without love? Think about it. This thing we call love, and I'm talking about human love right now, just human love. If it didn't exist in this world, what would life be like? To not have that emotion, to not have the joy of loving a spouse, of loving a child, of loving grandchildren, of loving our friends. If we did have no such thing as love, we'd basically be robots, okay? I mean, we could still function, could still do things, but isn't it love that really makes things special? You know, if your husband took you out for a steak dinner, and if they didn't, I'm sorry, you know. But, you know, if they did for Valentine's, you know, why? What was it? Well, love. It's because there's a connection there, and we enjoy laughing with our friends and spending time with them. Why? Because of love. Human love is a precious gift. It's wonderful to love others and to be loved by others. And yet, here's the point I want to make this morning. Human love, as wonderful as it may be, is no comparison to the love of God. There's no comparison. Let's look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. The songwriter put it this way: we may sound the depths of all the mighty oceans, we may tell the distance to the farthest star, but the mighty love of God cannot be measured. Its dimensions are so high, so deep, so far. Folks, that is an incredible, incredible love. I want us to look at this verse today, and I want us to begin with looking at the magnitude of God's love. The magnitude of God's love. Behold what manner of love. Behold what manner of love. We're just going to look at one verse, but I want to pick this verse apart, okay? Behold what manner of love. What does that mean? Behold what manner. That term, what manner, is really asking this question: what kind of a foreign love is this? Or we could put it this way: from what world did this love come from? I mean, this is a love that is out of this world. Have you ever had an experience and you said, man, it was out of this world? What does that mean? It's hard to describe. It's so incredible. It's mind-boggling. That's what John is saying here in this verse. Behold what manner of love. This is a love that comes from another world. It's out of this world love. It's an unearthly, overwhelming, incredible love. It's interesting, in Matthew chapter 8, we find the same phrase being used. Jesus is out on a ship and the storms rage. And Jesus speaks the word and the winds and the waves calm. And somebody asks this question, "Behold, what manner of man is this? That even what? The winds and the sea, the winds and the waves obey him." Same thing. What kind of a man is this? This man is from out of this world. Nobody can stand and speak the word and stop the wind from blowing. How many heard the wind blowing last night? Anybody caught in a whiteout yesterday? Yeah. I wasn't out. I was at home, but I looked out at one time later in the afternoon, and it reminded me of times when I was taking graduate work at Northland International University up in Wisconsin, and driving from, in January, I'd take a class each year, and driving from Midland, Michigan up north, up through the over the Mackinac Bridge, across at the top of Lake Michigan, across to Wisconsin, driving in whiteouts like this because there's so much snow and the wind blowing, and it's, you know, just following a trucker's taillights just to stay in the road. It's scary. It's scary. The winds are blowing. The waves are a tempest. And Jesus stands up and he says, "Peace, be still." Right away. It was like that. They didn't wait till, you know, for the what the weather report said, and then it would eventually die down. He said, "Peace, be still." Stopped. And the people are amazed. They say, the sailors are amazed. They say, "Behold, what manner of man is this? This man, this guy's from out of this world. This is incredible that even the winds and the sea obey him." Well, that's the same idea here as in John chapter 3 and verse 1, where John says, "Behold, what manner of love." What manner of love that comes from God. It's from out of this world. Think of the greatest experience of love you may have ever had. You know, I immediately think of when our children were born and being there in the delivery room, and this new little creature of God, this little child, and just tears start to flow and overwhelm. This is flesh of my flesh. This is part of my wife and I, our life, this little baby. And just the thrill of that is incredible. John is saying this love is overwhelming. This love is from out of this world. It's from above. The magnitude of God's love. Now I want us to look at the focus of God's love. And this is just as incredible. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon" who? What's the next word? "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us." Who's us? That's us. Us is us. It's just us and zero, okay? It's us. It's you and me. The focus of God's love is us. Here's the truth. God loves you. God loves you. He loves me. He loves us very, very, very much. And His love is unconditional. If He could save Saul of Tarsus, He can save you. He can save me. If He would love someone who persecuted and murdered Christians, He loves us. Now, all of our sin is as filthy rags. It doesn't matter if we're a persecutor of Christians or we have lustful thoughts. It's sin. But He loves us. And this is what John is saying. It's mind-blowing. This love is from out of this world, and He's bestowed this love upon us. Many years ago, there was a great theologian who was teaching a class of seminary students at a seminary. And he taught this big lecture class, and he was teaching on some of the great doctrines of Scripture. And when he got all done, he said, "Now, are there any questions? Anybody have any questions?" So he opened up to Q&A. And one seminary student rose and he said, "Sir, you've studied the Bible in the Hebrew and the Greek and Aramaic. You have for many, many years been a noted scholar and author, and you've done all these mighty things. Let me ask you this question. What is the greatest truth in all the Bible? What's the greatest, deepest truth in all the Word of God?" He paused for just a second, and then he said, "Here's what I believe the greatest truth in all the Word of God is. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so." I think sometimes we complicate things. And yet, what a great truth. We can never totally get our mind around that. Jesus loves me. This I know. And we sing that song as little children and forget about it. But it's for us. It's for us. Would you sing it with me? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves you. He loves you. The Creator of the oceans loves you. The architect who put the moon and the stars and the sun in the sky loves you. The designer of the Rocky Mountains loves you. The Savior of the world, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords loves you. He loves me. What a thought. The focus of God's love. This love is from out of this world, and He focuses it upon us. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. That's you. That's me. Praise God. His love is overwhelming and it's upon us. And that brings us then to the result of God's love. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. It was because of God's love and His mercy and His grace that we can be a part of His family. It's all of Him. We start thinking we're pretty important, we're pretty good, therefore we deserve heaven, we deserve to be at His table as part of His family. No. God has bestowed His love upon us because of His love. We can be called the children of God. When we come to the Lord Jesus and understand our need and mourn over our sin and cast ourselves upon His mercy and grace, by faith respond to His Spirit. He gives us His love and His grace. We're His sons and daughters. And so we can be called the children of God. We're not called His enemies. We're not called His slaves. We're not even called His neighbors. We're called His children. You know, if you have an enemy, you don't want to spend a lot of time with them. You know, slaves have no rights. And the Bible says in the New Testament, that's how we should look at our lives. But what does God say? He says, I call you friends. He also says, I call you my children. I call you my children. Sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And because through faith in Jesus Christ, we are born again into His family, we have all the rights and the riches of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords at our disposal. That's what the Bible says. Because we are heirs with God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus. We're brothers and sisters of Christ. Our Savior, our Lord, our Redeemer, our brother. And the Bible says we are the children of God because of His great love for us. And you know what? This is what's nice. When we are truly in His family, when we are truly His children, even when we blow it, He still loves us. Even when we blow it, we're still His children. You know, there were times when Holly and Jeremy and Jason growing up disappointed Jeannie or I. But they were always our children. They always will be our children. Back in Luke chapter 15, one of the greatest pictures of how a loving heavenly Father loves His children. You got two sons, and one is faithful and sticks by the stuff, and the other says, I want to leave, give me of my inheritance. Turns his back on his father, leaves, and it was fun for a while. But then where did he end up, the prodigal? In the pig pen. So what does he do? He goes back. And here's is a wonderful picture of how sinners are to come to a Savior. He comes and he says, I am not worthy to be your son. Make me as one of your slaves. What does the heaven, what does the earthly father do? He says, kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a party. We're going to have a barbecue and it's going to be great. And we're going to have a party because my son that I thought was dead is alive. He that is lost and found, and he welcomes him back. Folks, even when we stray from the Lord, He loves us. He welcomes us back. And so the result of God's love is overwhelming. We should be called the children of God. Let me ask you this. Who's your daddy? Now, that's used as a, it's kind of a slang term today, but I want you to get to who's your heavenly daddy? The Bible talks about Abba, calling him Abba Father. That means daddy. You know, I think probably everybody in here today professes Christ the Savior. But if you're not certain of that, don't go off into that cold today without sitting down and saying, Pastor or somebody else talk and say, I just want to make sure I'm part of the family of God. That my daddy really is the Lord, my spiritual father. And if you know the Lord, if you know He's your father, live like it. Just live like it. Let the whole world know I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King because I'm a child of the King. It affects how I live my life. Because I'm a child of the King, I want to bring honor to my Heavenly Father, not disgrace. I want to lift Him up. I want to worship His holy name. An old Indian chief constantly spoke of the Lord Jesus and what He meant to him. Why do you talk so much about Jesus? Asked a friend. The old chief did not reply, but slowly, deliberately gathered some sticks and bits of grass. He made a circle of them. In the circle, he placed a caterpillar. Still silent, he struck a match and lit the sticks and bits of grass. They watched the caterpillar. As the fire caught around the circle, the trapped caterpillar began to crawl around rapidly, seeking a way to escape. As the fire advanced, the helpless caterpillar raised its head as high as it could. If the creature could have spoken, it would have said, "My health can come only from above." Then the old chief stooped down. He extended his finger to the caterpillar, which crawled up on his finger to safety. That, said the old chief glowingly, was what the Lord Jesus did for me. I was lost in sin. My condition was hopeless. I was trapped. Then the Lord Jesus stooped down, and in love and mercy, He drew me out of that horrible pit of sin and shame. How can I help but love Him and talk of His wondrous love and care? Folks, that's a picture of how much Christ loves you. In that pit, that fire burning, no hope, but a sovereign God. A God who loves us with an unbelievable love, a love that is from out of this world. He saves us. He calls us His child. He blesses us with so many good things. And we have eternity to look forward to. Have you experienced that unbelievable love and salvation? And if you have, are you living like it? Are you living like a child of the King? Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. And all God's people said, Amen. Would you bow with me? With your heads bowed and eyes closed, in a moment we're going to stand and we're just going to sing a song in closing, but why don't you take a moment and meditate on the truth of this one verse today? If I wanted to, I could have gone to a whole bunch of other verses. John 3:16, Romans 5:8, just many, many other verses that just emphasize how much God loves us. But I think this verse is enough today. Behold, what manner of love, this love is from out of this world, the Father has bestowed upon you and me, that we can be called His children by faith. Take a minute, meditate, pray over what you've just heard, and then I'm going to just bring the mic around. I'm going to ask like a couple people to close us in prayer this morning, and then we'll stand, sing a song, and we'll be done for the day.
Heavenly Father, as we have heard this morning, You are our Heavenly Father. You love us. What great love You have for Your children. And we thank You for that. That I, Richard Rice, am Your son. It just doesn't get any better than that. It's hard to get your mind around that. But I believe it. You said it in Your word. That settles it. Thank You, Lord, for Your great love. Thank You for what we've heard this morning. Lord, I pray that You will give us a good rest of the day. Give us safety as we leave this place. Thank You once again, Lord, for Your great love for us. It's in Your name I pray.
Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your great love for us. It is amazing when we just stop and think of how You demonstrated Your love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, that You died for us. We thank You, Father, that You have called us to be Your children. And again, Father, just amazed and thankful that You would show such love to us. We thank You most of all for that love that gave us Jesus to die on the cross to save us from our sins, from ourselves. In His name we pray. Amen.
Stand together and let's sing a song in closing.